Thank you very much. I'm coming back full circle to Michael's discussion or interest in the material illusion. I was reading in preparation to this evening the introduction to your collected writings, and there you differentiate between your art criticism and your art historical writing. And in both, you are concerned, of course, with the relationship between painting and the beholder. But you argue that in your art historical writing, concepts like anti-theatricality, or theatricality for that matter, are understood as a structure of artistic intent and of the beholder's reception, and as such are bound to their own historicity. Whereas, so in the art historical description of a painting as theatrical or anti-theatrical, that's not really a judgment of quality for you, but in your art criticism, it does function as such.
And I would even want to say I don't actually make that judgment. And I don't I would want to say the painting was seen as one or the other at a time.
Yes.
I would try to stay.
So it becomes, it has its own historicity in a sense.
Yeah.
Yes. And I was wondering when I then read Optical Illusions again, how, you know, where would one place that essay? Would it, you know, even though it's a review on the Pollock exhibition at MoMA, it also does position Pollock's painting and their reception in contexts of recent art history. And if the essay was considered a piece of art historical writing, which I think it is, I was wondering if it would be productive to enter the discussion of materiality, which we already have entered today, of Pollock's paintings from your own art historical understanding of dynamic structures of beholding. And I'm interested in that question of materiality and its changing position in the discussion of concepts of observation, because that has been kind of in the foreground of my own work. And could we have... I was working in my PhD thesis about... I was working on Barnett Newman, Mark Rothko, and Jackson Pollock, and how in their painting they achieve... And I, you know, had big help with your from your own texts about this, an ambivalence of the figure-ground relationship by allowing the line to become independent of its conventional tasks of designation. And this, in turn, of course, has consequences for the way these works are being looked at and how observation can become itself a matter of reflection. And in my opinion, this criticality toward conventions of looking, which the artist achieved by questioning them with painterly means, is a topic that is of importance in subsequent artistic practices as well. And I'm just giving one example that I've been dealing with. For example, post-minimal land art projects such as Walter de Maria's Lightning Field. And in my own work, I argue that de Maria materializes the painterly convention of the figure-ground relationship by positioning his grid of poles on the desert surface. And in doing so, he conjures up, in my opinion, conventions of seeing, such as, for example, one dedicated point of view, or the illusion of depth, and also an endpoint of a designated pictorial area. But at the same time, he seems to circumvent that. And in that sense, the visitors of this installation are visually challenged by the fact that they are motivated to look at something like the Lightning Field installation, but they are at the same time not able to leave its site. So maybe that becomes clear in the last slide, that, you know, this idea of a pictorial convention becomes it becomes unclear again as soon as you change your perspective within the installation. So you have these moments of a seemingly these moments of perception that seem to connect to pictorial conventions, and then you lose them again while walking alongside this installation, which takes you 2.5 hours to walk around. Mm-hmm. And constantly the light is changing. Mm-hmm. So materiality is, in my opinion, used here to comment on painterly conventions. And I was wondering in reverse conclusions if one could say the same about painterly materiality in works of, for example, Newman, Rothko, or Pollock, because it conjures up, in my opinion, a haptic, a non-illusionistic experience, which is then reintegrated into a pictorial experience, however. So, you know, there is an interest in materiality which is at the same time optical, or leads to an optical experience. my decision to include later artistic activities such as these into my argument, and these activities have been much invested in abstract expressionism, it helps, I think, to reconsider the materiality of paintings by Pollock, not in terms of a, you know, low or base materiality or activities of the everyday, but in terms of a criticality toward painterly conventions of perception. And in that sense, I feel like these works of installation art do connect to a modernist interest and do connect to this idea of a criticality toward pictorial convention, maybe not painterly, but in a different
medium.
Can
you say more about criticality?
The critique of the convention of, for example, perspective, you know, looking in perspective or having one point of view or looking or having a designated area that needs to be responded to, which I think is, you know, part of what is what is the experience in front of abstract expressionist paintings as well. This, you know, they don't function under these modalities. They make use of them and they conjure them up, but at the same time they don't allow you to, for example, distinguish between a line and or a contour and field. They make that very difficult. So in that sense, they are, in my opinion, critical toward conventions of painterly illusionism, but I think that that connects in a sense to works like these, even though they seem to be so completely different, even though they change medium too.
Yeah. No, it's very, I don't know quite how to respond. Mm-hmm. I'm not happy with the notion of criticality.
Uh-huh.
I'm not happy with the idea that the, you know, the essence of the Pollock is that they are criticizing pictorial mm-hmm, conventions.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That doesn't feel like a big enough deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it feels like small beer compared to the idea that what you're trying to do is make a great painting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a great painting is not going to get made by calling into question certain conventions. Anyway, a lot of those conventions have been called into question a lot earlier, haven't
mm-hmm.
they? I mean, you know, perspective mm-hmm. is not a live issue by the time De Maria is making this, is it?
Well, I think it still is. Yeah, I think so. Yes. I would argue that it is today in artistic practice still.
Yeah, I can't quite see it.
Well, I think, I mean, as we've been talking about film before, I mean, De Maria has been working in mm-hmm. film at the same time and and also been discussing, you know, conventions such as perspective, you know, perspective seeing within mm-hmm. his film. So he's been using mm-hmm. media such as film or installation to pose questions that, in my opinion, you know, come out of a painterly tradition. So
okay, let me ask you another question. What's the issue of materiality in this?
Mm. Well, I think one is the actual materiality of the poles and how they react to their material surroundings. And I mean, the surrounding has been chosen very distinctly. But
anything would be material in that way, wouldn't it?
Anything that you would put into this surrounding.
Or
yes,
that you would do just any, I mean, mm-hmm. would you want to say that they thematize materiality?
No, I would say that they thematize the perception of something through their material, which is very specific, which is specifically chosen as well. And I would say the same for Pollock, that, you know, he, in his paintings, he thematizes perception, or he makes it a topic by means of his material and the choice and the process, the choice of his material and the process he makes use of it with as well. So, and that is kind of the connection I would want to make, that, you know, both serve optical ends in a sense, but both need their specific materiality and the process of using it.
Suppose these were made of bamboo.
Well, that wouldn't work because they very much work with the light they're you know, taking on. And I think it even becomes clear in these few images. I only brought a few. Well, they're all kind of in the same light, so it doesn't show.
Yeah, no, I see the metal reflects the light better than bamboo would, but.
Yeah, absolutely. But that's important because, you know, you come at a specific point and you won't see much of that installation at all because it's kind of lost in midday sunlight. They, you know, the poles don't throw a shadow and they're kind of like, they just reflect their surroundings so much that you don't see them as an installation or as a grid anymore. And then at some point, while you're perceiving, you perceive something different and you perceive a grid and... structures your vision.
Yes, I mean, we'd have to talk about this at length. I suppose there are different aspects of this where I feel it's foreign to me. The emphasis on perception as such feels foreign. Mm-hmm. The general category of materiality feels foreign. Mm-hmm. Something about the idea of criticality.
It doesn't grip me.
Uh-huh. So I understand what you're doing, but it's not you know, to use the term of, it's not a discourse that I can, to use a Wittgensteinian term, find my feet in, you know? Mm-hmm. So I don't know quite what to say. Okay. It feels like an abstract way of talking about what goes on in Pollock.
Mm-hmm. But it's not, I mean, I don't think it diminishes what, you know, what, or in my opinion at least, that doesn't diminish the artistic vigor of Pollock's work to... Both doesn't, not his understanding what he does, at least in part, as a, you know, as a critical endeavor, and also not putting him into a larger tradition, which, you know, doesn't end with him. So I wouldn't say that diminishes his artistic importance or rigor. In my opinion, that actually is a very strong, very strong characteristic of his work. Yeah, but my two other questions are very short and they really don't connect to this. So if I may I? Okay. One question, the second one you kind of almost already answered, but I'm repeating it because I think it connects well to the third one. On numerous occasions, you comment critically on how subsequent scholarship has made use of terms that you have been determining, for example, theatricality, of course, which you had coined in very specific contexts, such as art and objecthood, and they are now often being used to discuss other media, for example, installation art or performance, and with more positive connotations as well. And I found this quote by Alan Caprow, which he wrote in a letter to Harold Rosenberg, and he congratulated the critic for having provided in his 1952 essay on action painting the, I quote, root metaphor of poetic action, which proved to become one of the most influential and persuasive terms for the description of the artistic production of the time. And Caprow writes, "It is quite fortunate that you, and to some degree I, came up with two such root metaphors, action and happenings. They gave people a way to grapple with something they couldn't focus on before. And best of all, we were able to use these words to fabricate a quasi-system. Clearly, I'm not concerned with how demonstrably true an idea is, but how inventive it is." And, you know, you have in your career provided a number of such root metaphors, but I think with a much stronger claim for, you know, truthfulness, or as you said earlier, that you wanted to have control over them. Yeah. And I was wondering, you know, how do you feel about this? We talked about it, Michael, you know, the fecundity of your own terms, which, you know, might be understood as misinterpretation, but also of, you know, maybe a further development. How do you feel about this?
It would all depend on you know, what we're talking about. But I've had, I feel, as from my point of view, a wonderful. For a long time, there was very little pickup on my work. In a general way, and to this day, I mean, if there's a Courbet exhibition in a Courbet, and you turn to the entry on the burial at Ornans, there's stuff that's not there, and there's things that aren't said. And I'm not even saying that in a spirit of complaint, it's just a fact. But then, within the last, whatever it is, less than 10 years, I would say that there's a generation of younger art historians, a certain number of them connected with this online journal Nonsite, who've been using my work in ways that I'm like totally thrilled with. And then I've always had this other range of connections, like Cavell, for example, or the philosopher Robert Pippin, or Walter Ben Michaels. And I've always had just an extremely, intense and high level of exchange with all of those people, and was, sort of using each other's ideas, indeed, and working back and forth. Jennifer Ashton. So in all those ways, I'm like completely happy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in fact, I've seen very little pickup on my ideas in what would seem to me like a bad way. I mean, anyone who's moved to pick them up is already going to be so unusual that they're probably going to do it in a good way.
That's
all just something completely different.
Yeah, because in the German-speaking scholarship, world of scholarship, your terms, especially theatricality, are very much being picked up by critics working on performance art. So that's why that's why I chose.
So I mercifully probably don't know too much about.
Okay.
Yeah. I have yet to see any performance art that I could stand.
which is interesting, because you now do find, and that brings me to my third question. Your recent work on photography, your interest is of course very much guided by an interest in the pictorial, and in that way, I think, guided by modernist ideals in a sense.
Yes,
and
that's right.
Yes, and I was wondering, especially maybe with regard to the next work. Mm-hmm. I chose just a few. I was wondering, with the discussion of beholding, of concepts of beholding, in that you discussed with regard to these photographs, I was wondering, was it of interest to you what scholars that were dealing with other media, especially installation and performance within installation, were doing with regard to observing? Because there seems to be, and that's my last slide, there does seem to be, interesting concepts.
Yes, I hate.
I understand.
I hate it. I think it's such bullshit. Yes.
Yeah, but we completely agree. But at the same time, the concepts that are being discussed with regard to her work or works of other performance artists are not that far away from, your discussion of observation. I was just, concepts of observing, and I pulled this, of course, to make a point, but I was just wondering, how do you deal with this with regard to your own scholarship?
I think mercifully I don't know enough about it to realize it's an issue.
So you wouldn't you would just decide to dismiss work that, I was thinking, for example, that specifically with this work, there has been a lot of discussion on the idea of, perceiving someone else, perceiving an audience looking at someone
again,
else.
It feels to me to operate at a level of conceptual banality.
Yeah,
that
but
feels desperate. Yeah.
Could we go back to the? I mean, I think it's for me, it's a little bit tricky to just dismiss these, parallel developments. No?
I've just never had a problem with it.
Yeah, I know. Okay, well, thank you.
No, thank you.